seriously popular.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
In today's episode...
Hoyland's goal, a fluke or genius?
Why Liverpool are third favourites?
And which players would we have loved to have seen in the Premier League? I'm Dominic King.
I'm Chris Sutton.
And it's all kicking off.
So, good morning, Christopher. Are we well?
Yep, all good.
Good.
Busy weekend, busy few days. Took the Rangers game in yesterday. And they unfortunately won.
So
top of the league.
Yes. So you'll be... I'm going to say it's nice to see a smile on your face anyway, the fact that I'm here.
That wasn't because of Rangers going
No, it wasn't. No, it's because I'm here and Ian's up a mountain.
Yeah, well, Chelsea have started to turn a corner, and Ian, I sort of called him out on his attack on Chelsea, and all of a sudden he's disappeared. I wonder why.
Well, he's disappeared up a mountain, so you've got me for the rest of the week, if that's all right.
Lovely, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I wonder whether he'll bring you back a Toblerone.
Very much doubt it. I don't do any northern sort of gags, but he's from the north, so very much doubt it.
So you say he's tight?
Maybe he'll bring one back for us to share.
What's your favourite duty-free?
Oh, blimey. It'd be alcoholic,
yes,
probably.
Yes. Well, he definitely won't bring you that back, because I've known him for 20 years and he's never bought me a drink. So anyway, there we go. Plenty to talk about this weekend.
There is, yeah. Top and bottom of the table, wild challenges.
Wild challenges, wild goals, which leads us...
Which ones are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about Rasmus Højlund and his chest yesterday.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Our producer, Henry, and Ben, who also works here, we still don't know what Ben does... both thought that the...
To be fair, they don't know what I do either, so...
They may have a point.
That's true.
No, that's harsh.
No, it's not. Yeah,
so they both thought that the Højlund chested goal, because he scored one before then, took it really well in the first minute. You can see his confidence is growing all the time. It's a 1v1 went round the goalkeeper, tucked it in. But the chested goal was genius. Mm. It really wasn't. But anybody who has played sport to a reasonable level would know that he meant that.
Yeah.
You have a blueprint in your head, and it's because of hours and hours of training and being in situations. Your peripheral vision, you're just aware, and in those moments, it happens so fast, but you know what you want to do and try to do, and it's instinct. It's the picture which he sees. He knows the goalposts don't move. He knows what he's trying to do. The shots are, there's not a great effort from Garnacho, but I don't even think that it's because he's now hit his straps in terms of the goals which he's scoring that happened. I just think it's an awareness. It's in the moment. I scored a goal for Celtic. Slightly differently, but similar in it was against Basel at Celtic Park. Neil Lennon had a shot, and it was going wide, and I was just in line with the shot and flicked it in between my legs. Goalkeeper was already going down, went the other way, but instinctive.
Yeah.
Just in that moment, you just know what to do, and that's because of hours and hours of um, of of being in that situation. And some people are better at it than others, but would you have scored that? Or would you have done something similar? Because our producer, Henry, clearly wouldn't have done, and neither would his mate, Ben.
All I'll say to you on this is, I went to school with Steven Gerrard, and he was the second best player in our school. So that just gives you the level of quality that you're dealing with.
So you would have scored it?
Of course I would have. Of course I would have.
But anybody, I mean, on the back page of the Mail today, you know, there's the question, was it a fluke or an
no, it wasn't, no,
it, genius? It was... You know,
no, was... I absolutely I loved it. I loved the goal. And I was trying to, when I was on the way down here last night, I was trying to think of goals of that kind of impudence or cheekiness or whatever. And three that came to my mind, and you're going to say your mob here, so I'll say it for you. The three goals that I could think of from Liverpool, John Barnes scored a back heel against Crewe in the FA Cup in 1992. Cross across the box, and he was facing out of the touchline. All of a sudden, back heel in, brilliant goal. Robbie Fowler against Bram Bergen. The ball was behind him, and he flicked it over his head with his right foot, and then finished with a left foot volley, which was absolutely genius. And then Luis Suarez against Newcastle, where he controlled the ball with his chest and basically made it fall in front of his feet, went round the keeper and scored. But
Is it, do you sort of ever watch any other teams? Can't you remember my goal against?
No. Actually, now you're bringing this up. I do remember some of your goals, and I can't believe I'm sat here having a bit of a laugh with you, because 16-year-old me would never have spoken to you, because you broke my heart when I was a 16-year-old. Absolutely broke my heart.
How?
So, Blackburn 3, Liverpool 2, Ewood Park, October 1994.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you scored two goals.
Yeah, I did, yeah. John Barnes scored an overhead kick.
He did, yeah. He did score an overhead kick, but you scored... I watched it yesterday, just to remind myself of, like, the pain.
One from half a yard.
Yeah, one was from half a yard, but you bundled past David James. The other one was across to the back post. No. You might say it was a shot, but you were definitely crossing for someone there.
A measured finish. Driven finish, and you're calling that a cross.
You were definitely aiming for Shearer at the back post. Admit it. Come on.
He probably didn't celebrate with me.
No.
That was a joke.
But anyway, you broke my heart that day. I went with all my mates to Ewood Park. One of the first big trips that had been allowed away with me.
Well, I could have signed for Liverpool that that particular season, but I wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. Roy Evans.
Yeah.
Was in charge, and they were in for us. But
how close did they come?
Well, I sort of wanted to go to a team which were competing.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because
Blackburn were the team on the up at that moment in time. It was nothing to do with wages and money. So don't look at me like I just went for the money.
Would I have had posters on my wall of you when I was 16? No, definitely not. Look, let's move on. Let's go back to Hoyland, because
it'd been Gina G, wouldn't it?
Gina G. You are just a little bit. How have we gone from you breaking my heart to Gina G? Anyway, let's go back to Hoyland in terms of the confidence of him. He's got 14 goals now. And if we'd have had this, we wouldn't have had a conversation like this 3 months ago, because people were talking about him being a dud.
Really? I don't know who those people were, because watching Alan Shearer on Match of the Day last night, and I think the balanced view on Hoyland, honestly, at the start was, as we know, strikers thrive on service. And, you know, he was playing in a team with Anthony, who... essentially gives you the ball when he's finished with it, and Garnacho off the other side. So, you know, where was his service? And he wasn't getting the opportunities. And then when the opportunities did come along, you know, maybe he snatched at a few. But now he's on a run. We're seeing what a good player that he is. I still don't think that Manchester United have cracked it. They're on a good run, but Luton could have got something out of the game, probably should have got something out of the game, and so should have Aston Villa the week before. I think they're still a devastating counter-attack team. But in terms of Hoyland, what is he? I think we're still all trying to work out what type of player he is. He looks to be, to me, to be a player who has all the attributes. I think he can play with his back to goal. He can link up nicely enough. But he does have that pace and that ability. And that's what I think Manchester United signed him for, to make those runs in behind and finish. And before he signed, it wasn't like he was... They spent a lot of money on him, didn't they? But it wasn't like, if you looked at his track record, that he had been overly prolific. He was always a development player, always a work in progress.
Well, that's a very significant point. So he's played for Copenhagen, Atlanta and Sturm Graz. Okay. Copenhagen, 38,000 capacity. Atlanta, 21,000 capacity. Sturm Graz, 16,000 capacity. Going to Old Trafford, where it's 75,000 and the expectations on you, into a team that isn't firing, is still finding its way, has had lots of problems. Can you sort of put into context the level of understanding or the adjustment that he's got to have to flourish on that kind of stage? He's only a kid.
Yeah, well, temperament is everything, and I think what he has shown is his strength of character. You've got to be able to. I think it's really interesting, actually, the point you make about the crowds he would have played in front of before, and then Manchester United. I think it's a very, very, very valid point, really, in terms of what you have to handle going to Manchester United. Biggest club in the world, a lot would argue. I'm not going to disagree with that. I know you think Liverpool are, but they are a massive club, and the expectation levels are so high. So then going in and having the difficult start, which he did have, to have that strength of character to not hide, to show for the ball, to be courageous, and it's eventually started to click. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. You're not getting. You know,
Thank
we
you.
Aren't getting ahead
no,
of,
no.
ahead of ourselves. He hasn't cracked it yet.
No, he isn't.
But the signs really are encouraging.
Are United getting their act together? You're not. You don't seem to be.
No.
You're very difficult to impress,
no,
aren't you?
No, I'm not.
I hate to think what you're going to say about me when you've got...
No, I'm not. I don't...
Straight on the phone to Lady.
I think you have to be balanced. It's still... They're improving. The front, I mean, they're a devastating counter-attack team. That's what they are, but they don't control games. I mean, I was at Burnley at the weekend. Right, it was Burnley who were going to get relegated against Arsenal. But blimey, in terms of a team from the off dictating from the first minute to the last minute in total control, that was them. If you look at the last couple of games for Manchester United, beating Villa's a big deal, but they were fortunate. And some people would argue beating Luton that they were fortunate. I get both sides because Manchester United had numerous chances to score again. I think Ten Hag made that point after the game, and he was absolutely right. But, you know, are we getting the bunting out for beating Newport? And Wolves was a good victory, albeit, again, a game which went back and forth, and Wolves will think, well, how did we not get something out of that? And West Ham, well, everybody beats West Ham these days.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Well,
they do. I don't know. I think that's a bit harsh. I think that's a bit harsh because the one thing that they've, yes, teams might be in games with them, but the grinding results out, which to me says that the.
So you're saying that, but you asked me whether they've basically whether they've cracked it. And
I didn't. I didn't say they've cracked it. Did I?
But they are getting their act together. But you've just used the word grinding or the words grinding out results.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I think that doesn't, you know. So I've talked about Arsenal having control.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's a big difference. But it's better than it was at the start of the season. Of course it is. But you always go back to the start of the season expectations at Manchester United. Now they're improving. And I think it was pretty unthinkable them having the Champions League in their sights, you know, which they do have now. 2 months ago, nobody was giving them a chance. They do now.
True. They're getting their act together off the pitch as well. I think in terms of, well, you know, the this move for Dan Ashworth that looks like it's going to happen.
Well, what when? Which century is it going to happen? Well, which year is it
well,
going to happen?
Well, it's clear the serious about doing the clear the serious about making the improvements that they need to off the pitch. And are you not impressed with the?
No, so the truth is Dan Ashworth. I think he's a Norfolk boy, actually.
Is he?
Which always goes down well with me. Obviously, a bright guy is carved out a phenomenal reputation within the game. But the stuff I've read, I get what Newcastle's position is. I think Craig Hope reported that there's the possibility of this 2-year gardening leave. I mean, so from Newcastle's position and Eddie Howe's position, why would they want this guy going into Manchester United with all the Newcastle sort of secrets, which, you know, the plans that they would have wanted to carry out, taking those ideas to Manchester United? So I don't know how this is going to pan out. You're a journalist. You know these things far better than me, but this looks like it could be quite messy and not as straightforward as... So they've gone for Dan Ashworth, but I don't know whether it's going to happen immediately. I don't think Newcastle will let it happen.
Well, I think the fact that Craig's reporting that he's told Newcastle that he wants to go. I'd be very upset as a Newcastle fan because there's a couple of things here. They're having issues with profit and sustainability and financial play and not being able to spend the money that they want to. But now for a man who's been instrumental in getting a significant number of good players in and helping develop the club, to see they still got grand plans. This would have been a grand plan to, you know, be Champions League regulars, pushing for trophies and whatever. Now to have a huge piece, like, it's like a Jenga puzzle, isn't it? They're trying to take one of the key blocks away, so Newcastle's tower falls down to build their own. And I would feel very, very upset as a Newcastle fan looking at this. And there was an really, really interesting column from Martin Samuel yesterday when he was in the Sunday Times. He was talking about Newcastle should demand £60 million for Dan Ashworth, which when you think about it, some of the money that's spent on dross of players, for the people who've got the contacts to the agents, to the data, all over the network of scouts in South America, in Europe, in, you know, the ability to unearth great players or players with potential who could become great. You basically wrecking someone's business by taking the chief executive away.
So is he worth more than £60 million then? That's really interesting. I didn't read the Martin Samuel piece. What you're saying though about how the game is changing and because he can be so valuable to Manchester United's business if it ever happens, but how much he can make that club? Is this going to be a thing then now, where sporting directors go for, you know, that they become?
I think so, because
transfer fees.
Look at how much in the last 5-6 years we've seen sporting directors talked about like never before. Michael Edwards at Liverpool. Michael Edwards was spoken about at some point as being as important as Jurgen Klopp. Which, listen, Michael did an incredible job in terms of the recruitment there, but Jurgen Klopp's the kingpin at Liverpool. Let's have absolutely no doubt about that in terms of what's developed there. But Man City, their success before they got Pep Guardiola, it was getting in Chiqui Baguiristan to be the sporting director because he knew what Pep wanted. We know the names of these people in key positions, and that's how much the game's changing. Look, from when you were playing, even from 15 years ago, a manager used to be able to go and scout a player. He could, you know, I know that David Moyes, for example, when he was at Everton manager, he'd be able to go off on a Wednesday night to a Championship game and watch it. Managers simply can't do that now, because if they turn up at a ground somewhere, it's a story. Mm. It's a story, and people are onto them.
They'd have to wear a disguise, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, but you understand the point that I'm making.
Yeah, so you think this is the way the game is going then?
Yeah.
And in some ways, it never thought of that before, but it does make sense. Do you think journalists will start demanding like big transfer fees or newspapers for the top journalists if they move on? And how much would you say you're worth more than Ladyman?
Oh, that's without shadow of a doubt. But both of us are on free transfers, so we'd be given away.
I think that's
nobody
harsh.
Nobody would. Well, listen, no.
I'd, no. Yeah.
Ian's a stellar player. I'm not so sure.
I think
myself.
You'd go for billions. The pair of
you.
Do you
think so?
Yeah.
Well, that's very very kind of you to say that.
Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Let's go into the title race. You were at Burnley on Saturday watching Arsenal, who we've been told are going to win the league by people in a different room to us this morning.
Yeah, producer Henry and
I'm going to say
jobless Ben. they just on Arsenal. Quickly, different season this season. The way they played last season, they had the momentum early on and then eventually let it slip. That was due to a couple of reasons, you know, Arsenal's drop in form, but also Manchester City flexing the muscles. This season, it does seem to me that performances weren't quite there at the start of the season. The results were. Mm. But now they're hitting form at this particular time. I mean, it does bode well for Arsenal, centre forwardless. But the control they showed, it was against Burnley. You know, they blitzed West Ham. That Liverpool victory was massive for them. All the celebrations and overall had to say about that. But, you know, at this moment in time, I do think it's going to go to the wire. I didn't see City slipping up at the weekend. That's how, you know, I think we all expect them to win every week. But said before, I hope City don't win it. I hope somebody else does, whether it's Liverpool or Arsenal.
I'm just going to digress quickly because you mentioned Burnley. When you and I were together in October the 23rd, I think we were ahead of our time when we said about... the bottom three this year will have the lowest amount of points ever in the Premier League, and Burnley and Sheffield United are certainly sticking to their part of the bargain.
Mm. I think that was more you than me. I thought they'd go
down.
Yeah,
well, you know, I didn't want to take credit for it, but I will do now, yeah. so thanks very much.
So well done on
thank
behalf
you.
Of us.
Thank
both.
You very much. And I wanted to be a team player with you, yeah. You know, and say that we were in together, but, you know, I may as well take
that's the credit. That's where you're different.
Yeah, you know, I just bring a bit of magic and a bit of stardust to it. I will say about the title race, Liverpool are third favourites.
See, I think this is a bit of reverse psychology from you.
Why?
Why? Because why are you saying third favourites? You're probably going to chuck in the injury list, but you got Magic Mo back. Szoboszlai must be close, must be ish. Near. I don't know whether Nunes is like a footballing god. Now, Ian Ladyman's favourite player. Whether he'll be fit for the game in the week or not, it remains to be seen. But they are finding a way. Mm. They are finding a way. And it's a squad game. And I think we've spoken about their strength with the forward players, but it's not just strength and depth with the forward players. You look at them defensively. Connor Bradley now, you know, really look some player to me. I'm always sceptical when a young player, you know, has a game or two, and then all you lot,
your mob. There we go.
Your mob goes at the man. What a player, you know, because Liverpool's a big club, and you know we know the expectation which always comes with that. And I always think, oh, have they gone early? But I don't think your mob have with the praise that he's getting.
Do you remember Rob Jones, right back?
Yes, I do. That's my era.
Yeah, he was. that's who Conor Bradley reminds me of.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think though? So the early signs, Liverpool far better than me. Do you think he's actually a better footballer than Rob Jones though? Is that being harsh on Rob Jones, or am I just thinking all my era where we were a bunch of cloggers who just booted it and...
You weren't, though.
No, I was actually being sarcastic. Thank you.
You know what, for once I'll agree with you on something. I can't stand this thing that people look back at different series and say, oh, football's so much better than it was then.
That's all the YouTubers.
Yes, well, we know where
Henry
they are.
Ben.
No, Rob Jones was an absolutely brilliant player, and also very, very unlucky because he suffered with injuries. But he signed from Crewe and made his debut against Ryan Giggs against Manchester United early in the 90s. He was lightning quick, Rob, in terms of how he covered, and I can see that with elements of Rob in Conor Bradley.
Mm. I mean, that's some comparison, but the early signs are.
Yeah, and listen, I don't want to build him up. I think he's. He's got to find his way in a different era, but the emergence of him in the last 2 months has been something that's really sort of invigorated people. But
you don't believe in fairy tales. That's basically it.
I don't think there are fairy tales now. I don't think there are fairy tales now in football. I don't think there's fairy tales in sport either.
Really?
No, because if there was a fairy tale, Tony McCoy would have won the Grand National on his last ride.
That's a different sport.
We're not going to go into horses and ponies.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But that's a bit. I don't see where you're getting that from. I definitely think that this is you, Liverpudlian, reverse psychology. You're trying to be part of Jurgen Klopp's team, aren't you? You're trying to take the pressure off. Has he primed you to say this?
I'm part of Jurgen Klopp's team.
Liverpool are going to finish third. We've got no chance. Hang on a second.
You're doing what you always do. You're twisting my words and not letting me finish. I didn't say Liverpool will finish third. I said the third favourites, as it stands. Did I or did I not?
What you're doing here, you're confusing me, which isn't difficult with horse racing jargon, aren't you?
Did I say third favourites or did I say...
Third favourites. You make them third favourites, but you don't think they'll finish third.
Third favourites in a three-horse race. But that doesn't mean the outsider of three can't win.
Right.
The reason why I think Liverpool are third favourites is as follows. So I believe that Jota's going to be out for 2 months, which could be huge. I think that Nunes is a couple of weeks... Jones maybe a week. That's what I'm led to believe is the case. You've then got Thiago, who's out. Matip's out. There's been other issues, but it's not just that. It's the run of fixtures that are coming up in the next 6 weeks. So they've got Manchester City at home, Everton away. Everton will be a bear pit. Everton will be the biggest, the most intense derby, probably of the last decade.
Right.
It will be a bear pit. Peter Crouch said to Peter Crouch, I remember doing a column a few years ago with him, and he compared Goodison to a cage fight, with the way the stands tower over you and the way the fans are just, you know, they'll be wild that day, and rightly so. That's going to be a huge game. They've got to go to Old Trafford, when Manchester United are building up ahead of steam. They've got to play Brighton in the next month. I think there's lots of potential over the next 6 weeks for Liverpool to drop points. And what I'm saying is, I just think that is why I would make Liverpool third favourites at the moment.
But do you think they'll get you in for motivational speaking?
No, no.
Liverpool.
No.
Well, I think they're going to lose to Brighton, going to struggle at Manchester United, going to struggle.
Why are you doing this? Why don't you flip it? Why are you twisting the argument? Why are you not listening to what I'm saying?
No, listen.
That's your opinion. Right.
Blimey, I thought I was negative.
So go on. Hang on. Did they say at any point they couldn't win them?
Well, you said. No, but you said the third favourites. That's.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Right, where do you think... Okay, let's nail this down. Where do you think Liverpool will finish?
Second. I still think Man City will win the league.
I think
Man City will probably win 12 or 13 of their remaining games. I think if Liverpool are going to win the league, they're going to have to basically win... How many games have they played now? Is it 24? You've got the table in front of you. I'm still so...
I need a lie down. I went to a village school. Third favourites, you think they'll finish second? You've made them third favourites. Paddy Power, you, has made them third favourites and you've got them finishing second. I'm baffled.
Let's move on to Darwin Nunez's goal. What did you think?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
At the time, I was thinking what everybody else in the country was thinking. How does he have the audacity, the impudence to finish like that? And he had time. And he had time. So I saw Michael Owen's tweet.
Yeah.
I was with Chris Boyd yesterday. He said the same as Michael Owen. I personally don't think we can judge him like that. And I don't think you can tell somebody how they should finish, albeit I do understand what they said, but it's about executing a skill. And if that's something which is difficult to do, but it's natural for him, then let him carry on.
Yeah.
And the other thing is he might have one hell of a boost of confidence because of that. So... I do get what they're saying, but what about people who take Panenka penalties? You know, the risk. They're talking about risk element, with that finish. What about people who take a Panenka penalty and score them? You know, essentially, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, isn't it? And as long as you're scoring... It doesn't matter. We know that his, a lot of stats out about him that he's missed big chances, this, that, and the other. But I don't think, I don't necessarily agree what Michael Owen and Chris Boyd said a similar thing.
Right, I'm going to read what Michael said on his tweet. He says, "That finish from Darwin Nunez yesterday was insane. I can't stop watching it, and I can't begin to explain how difficult a skill that is. Moving at pace, the ball running away from you, being inside the box with no room for error, incredible. But it is also further proof that he is to get closer to becoming the great player many people think he can be. He has to adapt his way of thinking. I mean, to even consider that finish is madness. It's a 1 in 10, 2 in 10 finish at best. Learning to slot, dink or go round the goalkeeper is far more productive way to score and will increase his chances to 4 or 5 in 10, thus massively increasing his end return. I'm not really trying to rain on his parade as that goal was pure class, but I'd rather see it when Liverpool are 3-0 up, not at 0-0.
How old is Darwin Nunez?
Early 20s. I think he's 22, 23.
I think it's what's natural for him and the way that he sees it. I had particular ways that I would finish in certain situations, depending on... You know, how the situation panned out and where I was. Henrik Larsson scored a similar goal in my first Glasgow derby. Similar skill, ball running away from him, scooped it over to Stefan Kloss. That's the best goal I've ever seen.
I would never
have tried that. I would never have tried the finish that Nunez did in that situation. Right, no. But. That's because everything Michael Owen said, the risk element. But if it's natural for somebody to do that, and only time will tell, right? I haven't seen Nunez in an exact situation like that I mean, you know, they're all different, these situations. I saw him miss a chance against, I think it was Chelsea late on, one-on-one, when he toe-poked it. But he was under pressure then, so that was a different scenario. I thought the way he composed himself and finished it, it's all like everybody else. And, that may be the moment that his goal-scoring career at Liverpool starts going through the roof. I think the stat at, when he played Chelsea was he had 14 shots or something ridiculous and didn't hit the target. But I do think that it's very individual the way that you finish it. Maybe in training that he's working on all these other things, you know, about slotting it, going around the goalkeeper. But if he's not comfortable at going round the goalkeeper in situations, why would he do that? If this is a finish which is in his armoury, then carry on.
Yeah, I won't say never known, but the adoration that the Liverpool fans have for him, that like the popularity that he's got, I don't think anybody would ever want him to change what he is, because when he comes on, he's that rare player that comes on and you can almost feel the crackle of apprehension around the stadium. You know something's going to happen. It's never, ever going to be dull. And if they tried to make him methodical, I mean, Michael was explosive, but he was unbelievably methodical, wasn't he, Michael? When he was in his pomp and he got through, you knew.
And he had the dink, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And he could go round the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he
was comfortable.
Yeah.
With that, so it's what's part of your skill set?
Yeah, but do you not also think it's well in terms of education and upbringing, in terms of where Nunes has come from in Uruguay? He's had that sort of street fighter element to him. He's fought his way up. And I think it was very interesting as well. Every year he makes a move. When he went from he had a poor first season in Almeria. And then the second season was off the scale. It was the same with Benfica. Then he's had a season last year where things didn't really go to plan with Liverpool. But I thought towards the end of last season that he would have scored 30 this year in all competitions. I can see that in him. I think he's a fabulous player. I don't know whether he suffered initially because he arrived at the same time as Haaland. And he scored in the Community Shield when the two of them went head to head, and they were expecting Liverpool basically to have Liverpool's version of Haaland and Man City up against the original at Man City. I don't know whether it's the transfer fee, but he's just him. I just think he's.
It was you who started that.
No, it wasn't
your mob who started that.
Absolutely wasn't. It absolutely wasn't.
Haaland.
Absolutely wasn't. It wasn't. Absolutely wasn't. Absolutely.
Who was it then?
I have no idea. It was just a narrative that organically came because Liverpool had made such a huge investment at the same time that City had made their huge investment.
I'm gonna look back through the archives, see if I can find an article from Dom King, Haaland
same
against Nunes.
Never.
I'd love producer Henry to dig one out.
No, he wouldn't be able to do that. He wouldn't be able to do that.
I just heard in my ear he's on it. And you've had a chat this morning. Michael, you call him. I mean, you're well connected, aren't you?
Are you ready to rank off? It's time for Five Aside.
I was very intrigued about Mikel Arteta's comments on Friday about possibly wanting to sign Kylian Mbappe.
What?
Yes. Yeah, he said, why not? He was asked the question about should Arsenal...
What, little Arsenal?
Little Arsenal, yes, little Arsenal. I actually think it would be more money than... It would come with more issues than it's worth for Arsenal.
So I was joking about little Arsenal, but I need... Signing Mbappe wouldn't be a good thing.
I didn't say that.
But you said it would come with...
It would come with huge problems. It wouldn't be sort of the magic ticket.
Not worth it.
How much do you think Kylian Mbappe is going to cost?
It doesn't matter.
How much do you think he's going to cost?
So if Arsenal don't win the
Premier
League,
it
doesn't matter.
Answer the question.
I'm certainly not a financial expert.
Can you have a guess?
200 million.
I keep going.
202.
Keep going.
203.
Fortunes. I think you'd be looking at more than 400 million.
How could Arsenal afford that?
Well, exactly. He's going to go to Real Madrid anyway. He's going to go to Real Madrid.
We can chop but this.
I want to talk about the five players that I wish had come to the Premier League.
Okay, go.
Okay. Number five, Gabriel Batistuta. Could have signed for Ipswich in 1994.
How low is his bar? Ipswich?
Wouldn't it have been brilliant to see...
They're not even the biggest team in East Anglia.
No, well, wouldn't it have been brilliant to see... It would have been the best striker we'd ever seen in an East Anglia, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
I've got you!
Absolutely.
Number four, Robert Lewandowski. Could have signed for Blackburn. Was on his way to see Sam Allardyce, but the ash cloud and the volcano stopped him flying from Poland. And this is very true, yeah. And he couldn't come over, and the rest is history. Ended up staying in Germany, and stayed in Poland, went to Borussia Dortmund, and we know what happened next. Number three, Ronaldinho. 2003, when David Beckham left Manchester United to go to Real Madrid, he had a choice between PSG and Manchester United. Ronaldinho, he ended up going to Paris. What a shame! What a shame that was. Number two, Paolo Maldini, the greatest defender of all time. The greatest defender of all time. Alex Ferguson wanted to sign him. What a fantastic thing that would have been to see Paolo Maldini in our league. Mm. Number one, last but not least, Zinedine Zidane. Could have signed for Blackburn.
He wouldn't have gotten the team.
No, because you had Tim Sherwood.
You're being naughty there.
No. Zinedine Zidane, what a player. Yeah. And I also think, I don't know whether Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo have distorted things so much that we don't appreciate what a genius he was. He could do everything.
Good chap.
Balletic, powerful, score goals, pass. Just every time you watched him, he just mesmerised you. So that's my top five.
It's an interesting top five. I would just throw, Pele, Maradona, the two greatest players ever to play football.
Yes.
You wouldn't have wanted to see those.
Because I said Premier League. Players. I said Premier League.
Oh, did you?
I did say Premier League.
Well, there was football before
there was football.
There was
so if we were going to go there,
I'd have said Michael Laudrup. Well, but you've missed out Messi.
I have missed out Messi, and I've done it.
You like Messi? What?
I absolutely adore Lionel Messi. I absolutely adore him. And the reason I never put him in this top five is this. I never, ever wanted him to leave Barcelona.
But that's not a reason, is it?
Can you let me finish? I wanted him to stay at Barcelona forever. I wanted him to be there. I think you
believe in fairy tales.
I wanted him to stay at Barcelona forever. And I think seeing him in the PSG kit, seeing him in the Inter Miami kit, I just don't think it looks right. I don't think it would have looked right seeing him in an English kit. I wanted
Norwich
him to stay
City.
At Barcelona.
Yeah. Imagine him in Ipswich.
Him and Batistuta up front. Imagine that.
You can't. I mean, there's not anybody in the world who's going to agree with you that you've left. The greatest.
I'm happy to die on this hill.
At this moment,
I'm happy to die on this hill.
That's a bad hill.
Why?
That's not a fairy tale. That's.
I'm happy to die
that's
on
a,
this hill.
That's a miserable I've ex- hill.
I've explained my that's, reasons.
Yeah. Okay.
I've explained my
that's
reasons.
That's your opinion.
Thank you. Are we into our moments of the week?
Yeah. Do you want to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Yeah. My moment of the week is. Podcast, it's called Straight to the Comments podcast. Danny Dyer, wife of Jared Bowen, has been speaking to us, and she's talked about the chant that the West Ham fans have for her. Mm-hmm. It's fruity, shall we say, and she's taken it in a better style than I would have envisioned it to, and more power to her. I think she's handled it beautifully and spoken with real class about it.
Well, are we going to listen to it?
I think we are.
The West Ham fans have a chant about you. Is that true?
They do. It says Bowen's on fire and he's shagging Danny Dyer.
He's shagging Danny Dyer. Well, Greg is on fire.
I dread
he's
it
shagging
Danny. Dread.
Do you dread it?
I went to an away game, and I don't usually like going to the away games because it is like, it's like the diehard fans of. crazy. And then I was like, I really need a drink. And I was like, do I die of dehydration? I would rather have died of dehydration, to be honest. That was the better option.
Yeah.
Because what, I come out and they're all looking at me and I was like, they're going to, they all sung the song. Like,
oh,
I was literally in the midst of the crowd.
This is why it should be banned.
No, it's fine. Where, it's so fun. It really, really doesn't bother me.
For more information on this podcast, check out the show notes. She's taking that. She's taking that. She's taking that with great class, I think. No, I do. Have you been on the end of any chance?
I could tell you of many chants. I was on the end of it the weekend.
Yeah, I'll be singing them
called
on the way,
called a Fenian so-and-so and an English so-and-so by the same guy within about 30 seconds, which was strange. Do you want to hear my moment of the week?
Yeah, well, I was going to add another little one.
I was just going,
I don't get these opportunities very often.
You're more similar to Ladyman than you think. Go.
Oh, what a dreadful thing to say. Tranmere 4, Stockport 0. Fabulous win for the Super White Army under Nigel Atkins. I thought it was a great result.
Beating Stockport. Wow.
No, well, let's get the bunting out. Stockport are flying, but it was always like to see Tranmere do well, and a great result for them.
Mm. Okay, well, I'm going to go with my moment of the week. And you and Ian are always educating me on the game. I mean, you guys I look up to, you're smart guys, but last week you even taught me the name of a team which I'd never heard of before. Listen to this.
I tell you what, anybody who thinks that Liverpool are certainties to win the Europa League needs to think again, because they wouldn't want to play Bayern Leverkusen in a one-off game.
Bayern Leverkusen in a one-off game. Bayern Leverkusen in a one-off game.
So Bayern Leverkusen, which league do they play in?
They play in a part of Germany, and you like to be educated, don't you? So, I'm glad
a part
I did
of Germany
that.
Nobody's ever heard of.
I think you mispronounced. I pronounced it in the dialect of the local region. That's what I did.
Bayern.
It was an extra R on the end, not an.
Very good.
Anyway, listen, I think that brings the festivities to a close. It's been a pleasure to be in your company.
Do you mean that?
I do, yeah, I do. And I'm looking forward to doing it all again on Thursday, because the little man's up and he'll still be up as mountain. In the meantime,
imagine being on that mountain.
Well, I know, what a time to be alive. In the meantime, I'm Dominic King. You're?
Chris Sutton, I hope.
It's all kicking off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.